Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one to ask a question. I would like to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Tom Skinner, Senior Public Affairs Officer for the CDC. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you all for joining us today as we kick off National Influenza Vaccination Week with this telebriefing. Today we have with us the Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Thomas Frieden, and we have also with us the Acting Director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, Dr. Melinda Wharton. Both will provide some remarks concerning some information we want to release today on how the season is going, how many people have gotten vaccinated as well, and then we'll get to your questions and answers. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Frieden.
Hello, everyone. The news from today is that flu is increasing. This year's strains look to be a great match with this year's vaccine, and it's time to get vaccinated if you haven't been already vaccinated. We've seen an increase in flu that's over the threshold that suggests that the flu season has started. So about 2.2% of all of the visits, variable in different parts of the country, are for illnesses that are like the flu, a significant proportion of which will end up being flu. That's higher in five states that have high-level activity and have as many as 4% or more of their visits flu-related symptoms. This is the earliest regular flu season we've had in nearly a decade, since the 2003-2004 flu season. That was an early and severe flu year, and while flu is always unpredictable, the early nature of the cases, as well as the specific strains we're seeing, suggest that this could be a bad flu year. Of the doctors who are submitting specimens that we look at to see which strains of flu are spreading, about 90% are very well matched with this year's flu vaccine. That means that we did about as good as we could have done to put the right three strains of flu into the flu vaccines that are available on the market. Influenza is a serious disease. It causes a couple of 100,000 hospitalizations a year and thousands of deaths. Every flu season is different, and we expect different patterns in different flu seasons. But vaccination is by far the best tool we have to protect ourselves against flu. One of the things that the CDC does during each flu season is to track how the vaccination campaign is going, and we get an early indication of that, and we're releasing information on that early indication today. Overall, what we've seen over the past several years is an increase in flu vaccination rates, including among children, among pregnant women, and among healthcare workers, three key groups that we look at because they're so important to spread of flu and they're so vulnerable to severe disease in the case of pregnant women. What that data shows is that we're holding the gains from past years, but we need to make further gains moving forward. There's very interesting information about pregnant women that's available. We're finding that while nearly half of all pregnant women have been vaccinated already, the biggest predictor of whether a pregnant woman is vaccinated is whether her obstetrician will offer her a vaccine in the office. And nearly three-quarters of pregnant women who are offered a vaccine in the office get vaccinated. There's also interesting information on healthcare workers, where we've looked at the different types of healthcare workers. And what we found is that 80 to 90% of pharmacists, doctors, and nurses are getting vaccinated, have already been vaccinated this season. But we need to do much better among allied health workers, aides and others in the healthcare system, as well as in nursing homes. And we're seeing that work sites and pharmacies are major sources of vaccination for adults. with more than a third of the vaccines being given either at work sites or at pharmacies. So in summary, flu activity is up. Vaccine is the best tool to protect against flu. The vaccine is widely available. There are already over 120 million doses out there to be had. And while it's important to wash your hands, cover your cough, and stay home if you're sick, the vaccine remains the best tool that we have. So we encourage people, particularly as flu season is likely to pick up in the coming weeks and as the holiday season approaches, when you get together with your friends and family, be sure that you spread good cheer and you give presents and that you don't share infections and spread the flu.
Jennifer, I think we're ready for questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name clearly. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Just one moment for our first question. Our first question comes from Mike Stobie of the Associated Press.
Hi, thank you for doing this and for taking my question. Two questions, actually. Dr. Frieden, could you clarify, you said that the strains circulating seem to be very well matched to what's in the vaccine, but did you say that this is shaping up to be potentially a bad flu year? Why would that be if there's a good match, if you could clarify? And my second question is, the early start to this season, is that in any way related to the weather?
The strains that we're seeing in the community are influenza A, the clade H3N2 predominant. And what we've seen in past years is that H3 predominant years tend to be worse years, and at least in 2003, 2004, also an earlier year. So maybe Dr. Melinda Wharton would like to say more.
Thanks, Dr. Frieden. In years when H3N2 strains have been predominant, we have tended to than we do in other instances. So because of that, I think we are particularly encouraging people who haven't gotten vaccinated yet to do it because to have a good match with the vaccine, there is the expectation that this could be a more severe season than it would be if it weren't H3N2. As far as the weather is concerned, I think that the relationship between weather and influenza is something that people always think about and are interested and curious about, but I don't think we've got evidence that that's a major factor.
Mike, do you have a follow-up?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, Jennifer.
And our next question comes from Lauren Brown of ABC News. Your line is now open.
Hi, yes, this is Lauren. Thank you for holding this news conference. You had mentioned that there are 5 states that are showing high levels of activity of the flu, and I was just wondering if you could specify which states those were and why those particular states were implicated more so than others.
I'm going to let Dr. Wharton answer that question.
Thanks. What we're seeing is a high level of influenza-like illness activity in a number of states in the southeast and south central region of the United States. The 5 states that have reported high level activity through the influenza-like illness surveillance system are Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. There also is moderate level of illness being reported in Missouri and Georgia. But I think it's just a matter of time before we'll have higher level activity in other parts of the country, but this is where it has shown up first this year.
Yeah, this is Tom Skinner. I want to remind reporters on the line that the latest edition of the Flu View, which contains some of the maps with activity level readings and whatnot, are available on the CDC website. So you can go to the CDC website to get the latest edition of the Flu View map and report. Do you have a follow-up?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Jennifer, next question, please.
Our next question comes from Elizabeth Weiss of USA Today.
Hi, thanks. Oops, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry about that. Thanks so much for taking my call. A terminology question. I'm looking at the flu view, and I'm trying to find a way to explain the activity levels, and when I get to the number of standard deviations below or above the mean for the current week, do you guys have a layman's explanation for that? What is a high, medium, or low state?
The way I think of it is it's the threshold of illness where it's almost certainly due to influenza, that there always is illness in the community where people can get febrile respiratory illness that is similar to flu, but it's only when it's more common that it's much more likely to be influenza than something else. So I would describe it as the threshold at which it's more likely to be influenza in the community.
So a high state on that list is not necessarily a state that has an absolute higher percentage of flu infections, but just a state where the people who come in and say they're sick, actually a higher percentage of them, in fact, have flu.
In the influenza-like illness, it's based on the proportion of doctor visits that are for influenza-like illness.
So that is actually that's a measure of absolute numbers of people who probably have the flu in the country.
Well, it's a measure of the proportion of doctor visits. So it's going to be influenced by how many people go to the doctor, healthcare utilization patterns, and so forth. Yeah, I think if there's specific issues about this that we need to talk about some more, we can get back to you on that.
Beth, if that didn't answer your question, call back and we'll put you in touch with someone who knows the ins and outs and very familiar with the nuances of flu view. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Next question, Jennifer.
The next question comes from Erica Edwards of NBC News Channel.
Hey there. I was wondering how you would describe how early this flu season is compared to recent years. I mean, can we say several weeks or a month, something like that?
This is Tom Friesen. There's a graph in FluView that kind of gives you a sense of that. Generally, it's peaked a month or so, a month or two later, Dr. Wharton?
Well, often influenza actually peaks after the new year, in January, February, or even later. And last year we had, of course, a very late season. The point Dr. Frieden made earlier that excluding the pandemic, this is the earliest year since 2003, I think is the point I would make.
Thank you.
Next question, Jennifer.
Our next question comes from Helen Branswell of Canadian Press.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my question. Dr. Frieden mentioned that there are 120 million doses of vaccine available in the United States for use this year. There's a universal a recommendation for universal vaccination in the United States. Can you give us an idea of how many doses have been used in the last few years? So not purchased, but actually put into arms?
Helen, this is Tom Skinner, and just to clarify, you know, the manufacturers had projected that they were going to produce around 135 million doses this year. That may go up, that may go down, and as of the latest estimate as to how much vaccine has actually gone out is about 123 million doses or so. So I just wanted to clarify that.
But if we apply the coverage estimates that we're releasing in the surveys today to the U.S. population, we end up with an estimate of about 112 million Americans will have been vaccinated so far. Now, some of those people need two doses, many of the children. But based on our coverage estimates, we're estimating around 112 million people will have been vaccinated based on these coverage estimates.
So far this year?
Yes.
So far this year, 123 million doses have been sent out to providers.
But we're estimating 112 million people have been vaccinated based on the coverage estimates we're releasing today.
Next question, Jennifer.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. Our next question comes from Becky Kellogg of weather.com.
Hi, actually the last person just asked my question. I just wanted to get a little bit more information about the early start to the season. I think that you guys clarified that. Thank you.
Great. Next question, Jennifer.
Our next question comes from Prentice Findlay of the Charleston, South Carolina Post and Courier.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I actually have two questions. There's a lot of talk about the early start to the flu season. What is generally considered the flu season? I know there's a lot of variabilities here, but is it typically just the fall and winter, or is there a more precise definition of flu season?
Well, we monitor influenza throughout the fall, winter, and then into the spring.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, during the influenza pandemic, we monitored it year-round. But generally, it's fall, winter, and spring is when we run our surveillance to track where we are. And usually the season often peaks as late as February.
Uh-huh.
But when it starts, it varies. Influenza is a disease which is not very predictable year to year, and we can't know when it's going to start without doing the kind of monitoring that we do.
Right. And you mentioned 123 million doses and then 112 million people vaccinated. Does that mean that there are now, about 11 million doses available for those who have not been vaccinated, or...?
The estimate of 112 million people vaccinated is an extrapolation from the coverage rates that we're releasing today. So it may well be an overestimate given that the coverage estimates based on self-reported vaccination coverage tend to be a little on the high side. The 123 million doses available are data from the manufacturers on how far they are along in the production process and what has actually been released and distributed. And again, these are estimates. And our expectation, based on what the manufacturers have told us, is they were expecting to produce around 135 million doses total this year.
This is Tom Skinner. I think the key point to understand is we're not hearing of any issues or problems with people not being able to get their vaccine. So there's still vaccine out there for those that want to get vaccinated. That's the bottom line. Next question, Jennifer.
Our next question comes from Timothy Martin of the Wall Street Journal.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two questions. First off, what factors or variables are looked at to make the assessment or projection that this could be the worst year flu season since 2003-2004? Is it the outpatient visits? And if so, how does that compare with, say, all the other years before 2003-2004? And the second question, it deals with this 112 million flu shots administered. Where does that rank versus the last flu season or the last several flu seasons? Is it more or less or about the same? Thank you.
Thank you. This is Tom Frieden. Just to clarify, flu is unpredictable. That's probably the most predictable thing about it. We haven't said this is going to be the worst season in a decade. We have not said that. What we have said is it's the earliest season that we've seen since 2003-2004 in a regular flu season, and that within influenza, there are many different subtypes. The subtype that we're seeing in most of the people with flu this year is the same subtype as 2003-2004, and it's a subtype called H3N2 that's generally associated with more severe flu seasons. So it does look like it may be shaping up to be a worse flu season, it looks like it's shaping up to be a bad flu season, but only time will tell The only thing we know for certain, besides unpredictability, is that getting vaccinated is the best way to protect yourself. We're at a very similar level of vaccination to last year. We did not see shortages of vaccine last year, and we're not hearing about shortages this year.
Okay. And then just one quick follow-up to that. Can you characterize it's shaping up to be the earliest season we've seen since 03-04, and then you'd said it's H3N2 is generally associated with more severe flu season. So just a two-parter, can you explain what is the earliness? What is it this year or this season versus previous that make it perhaps one of the earliest in a decade? And can you explain H3N2 versus the other types of flu strands that were seen in previous years that might portend a more severe flu season? Thanks again.
Sure. So this is at least a month earlier than we generally see the peak. We generally would see a peak in January. And we're seeing the peak now, late November, early December. Not the peak. We're seeing the beginning of the uptick, I should say, because we don't know when the peak will happen until we get there and we begin to see it beginning to fall. But we're beginning to see the uptick start at least a month before we generally see it. And the last time we saw it like this was in 2003-2004. The issue of the type is somewhat complex, so we divide flu into A and B. Of the A flu, we divide them based on two proteins that are on the surface of the flu molecule, the hemagglutinin and the neuraminidase. And there are different types of those, and the influenza virus evolves year to year and cycles sometimes for different types of those proteins. We can give you more information on that offline if you'd like us to explain that further. But the symptoms and signs of flu are the same, whichever subtype you get. We do find that certain strains tend to hit the elderly or hit young kids or vulnerable people harder than other strains. But in any one individual, any strain of flu can be life-threatening.
Next question, Jennifer.
Our next question comes from Carrie Feibel of Houston Public Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, terrific. Going back to the states with higher levels of activity, including Texas, is that typical, or can sort of the higher regions move around the country, and does that have any relation to these being southern, more warmer states later in the winter, so forth?
Where influenza starts is going to vary from year to year. Our surveillance experts tell me that they do sometimes see it start in the southeast, but it's not something that happens every year. And I don't think I would put a lot of, although it obviously affects those communities where it's starting sooner, it's going to end up, you know, our expectation would be that it would spread throughout the country as the season progresses.
Thank you.
Next question, Jennifer.
The next question comes from Stephanie Innes of the Arizona Daily Star.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I was wondering what percentage of the overall population currently gets a flu vaccine, and is that percentage going up? I know you mentioned healthcare workers and pregnant women, but I was looking for the population as a whole. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Hold
oh,
on just
hello.
A second.
Sorry. Want to make sure you heard me.
In terms of our coverage estimates we're releasing today, for the entire population, it's about 37% for people 6 months of age and older. It's a little higher among children, with an estimate of 40% and 35% in adults. Now, we are still in the season. Influenza vaccination is continuing, and our expectation is that as the season progresses, that coverage will rise. Last year, it went from it was 48% by the end of the influenza season for the general population 6 months of age and older. Of course, coverage is higher among older people. We've always had the highest coverage by age group among people 65 years of age and older, but we're doing a much better job vaccinating children, and we also have a focus on healthcare workers and pregnant women and people with high-risk conditions.
And I would just reiterate that what we're seeing in healthcare workers is encouraging. We've got 80 to 90% of pharmacists, doctors, and nurses vaccinated already this season. So it really shows the importance, and we found in obstetrician's office, another high-risk group is pregnant women, that if vaccines are offered, three-quarters of women have been vaccinated.
Next question, Jennifer.
And our last question comes from Nkoyo Ayamba from KSL in Salt Lake City.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I think I somebody already asked us about the significance of the H3, basically characterizing why that's so significant on that protein without getting too technical, too scientific. And then second question, please, would be I think I missed the new part about children and their vulnerability with the H3N2 or the H3 strain. If you would please address that. Thank you.
Well, when there's a bad flu year and there are lots of cases, then there are more people who may have severe illness from that influenza. It's not necessarily that that strain is more dangerous for them. So in 2003-2004, we saw severe illness in both children and the elderly. Just to wrap up, I want to thank everyone for joining the call. If there are follow-up questions, our media office can address them. The information here is that we're seeing an uptick in flu. It's the earliest uptick we've seen in nearly a decade. We're seeing high levels of activity in southern states, as we often see at the start of the flu season. The predominant organism is H3N2, which can be associated with more severe flu season. The match of this year's flu vaccine, because every year we decide which viruses to vaccinate against, which subtypes of flu, is an excellent match with the flu circulating. And influenza vaccination remains the best thing you can do to protect yourself and your family from serious illness. I've been vaccinated, my family's been vaccinated, and I encourage everyone over the age of 6 months to get vaccinated.
Thank you for joining us, and this concludes our call. If you do have follow-up questions, feel free to call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.